Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 730. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, occasionally we have bemoaned the timing of this podcast because of the nonstop wrestling for the last couple of years, pretty much. Pick a night of the week and there's some wrestling on and you're going to record during it. Well, sometimes the wrestling gods drop a nice story for you right in your lap. And today was such a day. It was announced that Cody Rhodes had not, well, Cody and Brandi Rhodes, at least for the time being, are not with AEW.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's beyond that. They have said their farewells.
Yeah.
Including a statement from Tony Khan himself saying that, wishing them the best of luck in their future endeavors, essentially. Without saying that, because I don't think he would say it. Like that.
Yeah, as many digs as they've taken at the WWE, I would imagine you would refrain from using those particular words that I feel like have become synonymous with the WWE, at least within the wrestling circles. I'm sure other people have heard of such a process, unfortunately. So yeah, it's wild, man. Like, I know that we kind of joked about it. We're like, oh, there's no way that he doesn't come to a contract. He's got two things going on at TBS. Why would he walk away from AEW? I guess that is probably one of the more fascinating things, is that we have an outcome here, but it also does not seem like we have a whole lot of meat to go on. Just a lot of speculation as to what is the real rift here.
Yes, and speculate we will do here. apparently, now, those early AEW contracts had a rollover option where Tony Khan could just keep the contract going at the same terms as before, meaning the same pay. He went ahead and did that for, say, the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho. So they're stuck. They're in AEW for at least another year. But somewhere along the way, he either chose not, or Cody asked him not to do that for him. And I assume, I guess, for Brandi. Now, it's obvious that it's without question that Cody wanted more money. I don't think that there's much reason to doubt that. He was asking for more money. He let his contract lapse. Or Tony Khan wanted to re-sign Cody to a lesser amount of money. Oh. And or Brandi as well. You know, there's a lot to this. Because it's pretty wild that, either Cody asked Tony Khan not to roll over his contract and let it lapse so they can negotiate for a deal. That would include a pay raise for Cody, I assume. Or Tony Khan did decide that he did not want to continue paying Cody what he was paying him, and wanted to negotiate less money.
I mean, it's one of those things where we've kind of talked about Cody more than the other guys, you know, that have been renewed. Kenny Omega, what, has he really been seen much since he lost the championship?
No, he's still dealing with injuries. There's There seems to be a lot going on there. I don't know if I...
There has been
no talk of him getting any surgeries. There's been no talk of a return date or anything. Kenny Omega's health situation is a mystery.
AEW, good with mystery, better with mystery than the WWE. Like, I feel like if this had happened in the WWE, we would have had the why by now. The Kenny Omega part, I guess, in some ways is immaterial. Like, maybe his injuries came up after the contract option was picked up. I don't really know. But it is kind of interesting that he is he's still there and the Bucks are still there. I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, yeah, if Cody was looking for, well, that's kind of interesting, I guess. Like, oh, I guess my main point was, we've talked about how Cody Rhodes is off in his own little world.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if maybe Tony Khan thinks that that is distracting to the AEW product as a whole.
He might. Once again, there's not a lot known. From what I've heard, even though I've not heard it myself or not really seen it recapped in detail, it's, you know, there's multiple things out there. There's a Dave Meltzer report that plays down any serious rifts between Cody, Tony Khan, and the EVPs. There's a Wade Keller hotline out there that talks about how, at the very least, Brandy was not popular backstage, which I guess I could believe.
Unfortunately for her, it seems pretty reasonable. Her presentation has lacked at pretty much every moment, I feel like. Whether it was the Nightmare Collective, was that what the fuck that was?
Yes, that was her deal, yes.
That wasn't good. Her screechiness recently with Dan Lambert.
Oh my god.
When I'm sitting there going, I like Dan Lambert in this situation, it's gotten bad.
It's just the situation with Cody and AEW it's amazing from where we began. Not the full beginning of Cody Rhodes joining the Bullet Club and doing both New Japan and ROH. Let's just take it to All In. Cody Rhodes was the most over babyface in the entire wrestling business that night. We were there.
Right.
And on the momentum of that night, we Tony Khan starts AEW with the four principles as his building blocks, as his foundation. And, you know, Cody starts AEW, goes in, incredibly popular babyface, arguably amongst his audience, the most over babyface in the entire business.
Yeah, and I even think that we mentioned at the time, we've spent a lot of the recent part of Cody Rhodes complaining about him, but at that point, he really kept that train going. Like, everyone, the Young Bucks characters were a mess at the jump. Kenny Omega was a mess at the jump. Cody Rhodes was the only one that went into that with good momentum. And even though I think that even at that time, he kind of had his own things for the most part. I don't think it was a Cody verse quite though.
No, we weren't to the Cody verse yet. But the problem began early because we do that match with Cody and Chris Jericho, where when Cody lost, he could never challenge for the AEW World Championship again. So then that's when the problems start. That's when, and they, been over 2 years, they have stuck to that stipulation.
Uh-oh.
But Cody came out of that and, you know, started a feud with MJF, which had some, there was some really good television there. MJF is, of course, incredibly hateable. Cody still goes into, you know, into a match with MJF. You know, incredibly popular. Then he loses that match. They never do a rematch. He never gets that win back. At the same time, he is removed from the Elite situation entirely. In fact, the Elite goes into the first Stadium Stampede match. You know, Kenny, the Bucks, Hangman Page still at the time, and Matt Hardy took on the Inner Circle. While Cody was in a different match. Cody, that was the first time Cody won the TNT Championship.
Oh.
So that begins Cody and the Elite, Kenny and the Bucks, never again interacting on television for nearly 2 years before the news that broke today.
And I guess that is the other thing that's kind of interesting to revisit in this whole situation, was that I feel like everyone involved in the situation, and correct me if I'm wrong here, at the time, there were some reports that there was some real discord between the EVPs.
Yes, and it was denied, but never, not really much evidence showing that they had a good relationship. Now, once again, rewind back to All In. Didn't it seem... Maybe Kenny was... Omega was a little distant with Cody. But didn't it feel like Cody and the Young Bucks were like the best of friends?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and this is where we're going to get into Cody as a politician. And, you know, and all the moves Cody's made, it doesn't feel like they were ever really friends, does it? Cody used them for what he could get out of them, all the way to his fat deal with AEW. And then maybe some infighting begins over the direction of the company. I think many of us remember the infamous episode of AEW. This is now we're going back a little bit to late 2019. The infamous episode of AEW where Deathmatch legend Luther debuts alongside Randy Rhodes for some reason. And the show ends with the Dark Order beating up all the main eventers. At that point, it was reported that Tony Khan realized how horrible that show was, pulled rank on all the EVPs, and around maybe that point is when the EVP title started to being on paper only.
I would have to say, and I guess that's the other thing. Maybe, and this is something, maybe it wasn't about money. Maybe,
yes, that's it.
Maybe, that's... like, and I don't know if that's where you were headed necessarily, but.
Yes. You're reading my mind a little bit, but go ahead. I'll jump in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hadn't really thought of. I can't really, obviously, this news came out around, what, early morning-ish, kind of 10 o'clock or so?
Yeah, 10 o'clock. It was pretty early by the standards of news breaking in the wrestling business.
But I guess I hadn't really put a lot of thought into it until coming into this.
No. Cody did seem to have more control over his storylines, but didn't really have any influence over the rest of the show. Cody Rhodes, the son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, the booker of Jim Crockett Promotions and World Championship Wrestling for all those years, you know, Cody sees himself as a booker. He sees himself as a promoter, just like his dad. Maybe Cody was under the assumption that Tony Khan was going to be a bit more of an absentee owner than what turned out being.
Yeah.
And instead, Tony pulls rank on everybody, and to, you know, everything we hear, Tony Khan is basically running the entire show by himself.
I think a lot of people had made jokes about him Because wasn't there something about him doing editing on top of everything else, or was that just a threat?
Yeah, that was after the Max Caster rap that got a lot of controversy.
So now
he has to start. Now he had to start editing Dark episodes of AEW Dark Tony's out there with his
Jeez.
Tony's whipping out the Adobe Premiere Pro himself to,
to get things done.
That at the YouTube show.
Oh man. Maybe it is really just a whole creative direction thing that Cody's a big problem is. The problem that I guess I have with that, because I do feel like I just read some speculation that, hey, maybe Cody Rhodes just goes elsewhere. Maybe he starts his own thing. Like,
I don't think that... I don't think he wants to do that. He's going back to WWE. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Now, the interesting part is, if Tony Khan was willing to let him go, what kind of leverage does he have? Or was the negotiations breakdown to the wire? And, you know, and WWE's offer was just too good. Has Cody accepted an offer or not? No one knows. Has there been an offer been made? Has it been accepted? I guess no one knows right now.
Well, and I guess that is the other thing that is pretty interesting about the situation in and of the fact that, what is it? He's basically from, I know I have it pulled up, but I'm not actually looking at it. What, it was from December on that Cody Rhodes was essentially working without a contract?
Yeah, so from about the end of December. I think something like December 22nd or something like that.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember seeing a date. I definitely remembered seeing a month.
I think Meltzer's report that he does have available for the right on the free site, which he rarely ever does.
Oh yeah, I do have that pulled up. I must have just skimmed over the actual date there, but it's not that big of a deal, really.
It is late December, the last third of December. So yeah,
but
he has been working without a contract.
But that does give the WWE the time to offer him a contract and not be in any type of legal trouble, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's been barely been negotiating with both this whole time, or I don't know if the WWE negotiations began, you know, before the new year. Maybe they didn't, you know. Not that WWE's a company that closes down over Christmas or anything. There's probably people in that office working on Christmas because Vince McMahon is a madman.
It would not completely shock me if that's happening.
Yeah. So yeah, that's. I guess that's where we're at. That we don't know exactly who. Once again, we don't know who instigated the not. You know, the not rolling over of Cody's contract. We don't know exactly the reasons why the why negotiations broke off this week. Apparently, they've been negotiating this whole time.
That part does seem to be the case. Like, I know you brought that up a little bit earlier in the talk. It does seem like the conversations had kept going.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely did. But yeah, I don't know. It seems to be a combination of it's always money, creative issues, and just general feeling about where he's going and where he can be. Now it's you know between business Cody, it was actually vice president Cody, Booker Cody, and performer Cody. If Cody has gotten to the point with AEW where he wasn't going to be any more any more than just a performer, and one who cannot be world champion. Maybe at that point is when Cody starts looking at WWE as an option.
Well, yeah, that is kind of funny that sticking to that storyline could be causing that problem.
Yeah, it is very interesting in hindsight, because once again, once Cody can't be world champion, they create the TNT Championship. In the beginning, it feels like just for him. But that's after, of course, once again, Cody and the Elite, you know, never again appear on television together after about, basically, I think once the pandemic hit, I don't think they ever were again. Because if you remember, they were going to do their Blood and Guts War Games match that week on television.
Oh.
And Cody was going to be in it. But then, by the time they get their situation their taping situation situated for to continue with Dynamite, that's when Cody starts getting into the TNT title tournament, and the Elite move on without him. And you know they do the feud with Brody Lee over the TNT Championship. Cody loses it, gets it back. He loses it again to Darby Allin. Never doesn't get it back until a few weeks until.
December,
right around the time all this was happening with the contract,
right?
And in between those things is really when the Codyverse starts. That's when he runs the angle with QT Marshall that nobody asked for, and QT's group of guys who aren't ready for prime time, and then the promo, and then the jingoistic promo, and then. and then that's when Cody did not have a good entire year stretch in AEW basically.
I feel like we've taken a lot of time to say who the MVPs of the pandemic era are. Cody Rhodes could be on the least valuable people's list. Because, the pandemic, I think you're right. Basically, the pandemic has been the Codyverse. I mean, it's probably about 6 months short of the pandemic as a whole, since we're stretching over 2 years now. But still, like, when the majority of it is the Codyverse, it just hasn't been good. And in a lot of regards, like, I almost understand Tony Khan standing up for trying to get a unified vision of his wrestling program than worrying about what exactly to pay Cody Rhodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There are so many weeks a Cody and Brandy segment drags that show to a halt like it's a Happy Corbin segment.
Oh man!
I mean, it's between them and Dan Lambert, basically, who just seem to just grind the shows to a halt and just ruin whatever good vibes, whatever good momentum the show has. Yeah. And we've been doing this for with Cody. We've been doing this for over a year now. Now the stuff they did with Shaq was good for what it was. Everything after that, really everything after that, maybe it wasn't necessarily doing anything much before that either.
Well, some of it hasn't been bad. It's just been that it's been disconnected.
Oh, yeah, the disconnect has been real.
Malakai Black, I enjoyed the feud, I enjoyed the matches for the most part, but he was stuck in a hole. It took what's his name, Brody King, showing up to pretty much salvage his character.
Yeah, and let's talk about something else that happened. Let's talk about that weird promo Cody did before the week before the ladder match with Sammy Guevara, where he starts basically burying his own company, burying AEW, and had the worst to say about Brody King, who I'm not sure he really even knows it all. Saying coming into this company with the name Brody, and you know, acting like it's disrespectful to the memory of Brody Lee, and it's, you know, and when you realize that Cody wasn't sticking around, there wasn't a part of an angle, Brody King probably should have kicked his ass for that. That's that promo was insane, that this guy without a contract was allowed to
Tony Khan did not whip out his editing machine for that one.
No, he gave that man a live mic to just ramble on and on.
Yeah, because was that on a Rampage?
No, that was a Dynamite. That was live. That was live, baby.
Okay. Because I'm just not remembering it well.
Yeah, no. Actually, I'd forgotten it. Because I'm just thinking, you know, Cody overall probably, you know, left, you know, as professional as anyone could go in the situation. Wasn't a dick on the way out. Then somebody else pointed out that promo and then reminded me, like, no, he was kind of a dick in a second to last appearance in AEW.
Well, yeah, and it's just, like, that's one of those things that's just so silly. To come in using a common first name is desecrating someone else's memory. Like, really? So no one else named Cody can come into AEW then, I guess? Or do you have to die to have your name memorialized, I suppose?
Well, there's plenty of people in AEW with the same first and last name, so I really don't know what he's talking about. It's a WWE thing to not have two people with the same name. And I actually do understand it. But it's not necessary to run a wrestling company.
No. Yeah, it's one of those things that I guess it's fine, but also, yeah, it is never going to offend my sensibilities when there are repeat first names and or last names. It does make me remember when my one coworker, his last name was Anderson. And he genuinely seemed shocked that Anderson was a common last name. And I was just like, really? Really? Like, that's like saying Smith isn't common, sir. Anyway, but yeah, Brody is a pretty common first name. And oh my gosh, Brody King had been going by Brody King for a while? I mean, I know that he existed before Ring of Honor. And I had seen him probably for the last several years in Ring of Honor. So it's just like, nah, the guy isn't going to drop his name just because of that. Especially since, yeah, AEW doesn't make you drop your previous gimmick name. Which, and hey, if you want to be creative like Malakai Black and switch things up a little bit, have at it, man. That's it's also allowed. But you know, another part of this whole story, which is interesting to me too, and I feel like I read this in the Meltzer report, is that Brandi Rhodes wants to wrestle and sees herself as a wrestler. Honestly, I mean, do you see that happening in the WWE?
Not a chance. Maybe they could do one mixed tag with the Miz and Maryse if Cody comes in as a babyface. But then, yeah, the problem that Brandy's a natural heel if she's a natural anything on screen. But other than no. I wouldn't even do that because no. For perverse entertainment reasons, yes, I'd like to see that, but not for any genuine legitimate reasons. Yeah, there's just, and that may have been part of it too. Maybe Tony Khan didn't exactly want Brandi sticking around, on camera anymore. But then again, he gave her. Then again, when they weren't under contract, he still gave her a live mic. So
it's several times.
Yeah, several times. Ruining his own shows in the process. So yeah, she's not wrestling in WWE. She's a gorgeous woman, but she is probably older than she looks already. She's 35 or 36 years old, and she's been trying to wrestle for like a decade, and she's still not good at it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest problem. It's just like, when did they leave WWE?
2016.
I feel like she was trying to wrestle at the tail end of her WWE run.
Yeah, maybe more at the beginning before she settled into it.
To the announcer role.
But I
do feel like she kind of tried to start it up as soon as they left then.
Oh yeah, she did. She tried. One of the first things they did was in Impact. I believe they did the mixed tag with Mike and Maria, I think.
Okay. It's possible. I'm not completely sure. But yeah, I mean, so she's been trying now for 6 years or so.
Yes, we'll definitely say that.
To be a competent wrestler. And she hasn't shown it at all.
No, she is not at all. She is not at all a competent wrestler. She's not great on the mic. She was at points she was good with Cody as strictly a manager. She could pipe up, say something during promos. Like every woman who's played the manager rally role since, she could do the sensational Sherry mannerisms and getting hooting and hollering outside the ring and pounding on the apron and things of that nature. She could do fine in that role, but in AEW she has to try to be her own person. She's trying to lead factions. She has tried to wrestle more, and none of it is good. Yeah, if a job for her on screen outside of a ring announcer interviewer type role is a deal breaker for Cody and WWE, I don't know if this deal gets done.
Yeah, and I guess that's the one thing that was interesting to me. I'm like, if this is a real caveat, I don't see the WWE going for that one at all. Just, that seems like a non-starter to me.
And WWE is bereft with, even though Renee's gone and Charlie's gone, they've got Kayla in kind of the lead position of their female broadcasting crew. They've hired then the Irish guy.
Kevin Patrick.
Kevin Patrick, yes. He's getting a lot better. I just start actually remembering his name. They got, you have Sarah Schreiber and the Megan girl, I think, on SmackDown.
Is it Mackenzie Mitchell?
Mackenzie Mitchell on NXT?
Oh, that's different than the SmackDown woman?
What's her name? What's the...
And didn't they just have a new woman debut as a backstage announcer?
Yeah, Quinn McKay from ROH. At NXT. You mean the new ring announcer. What's her name?
No. I was thinking that there's a new backstage female announcer that hit one of the shows, and I don't remember which one it was.
I think that might be that... Megan.
Oh, okay. That's the Megan woman.
She's
okay.
Been around a while, but she hasn't really done anything to really stand out from the pack.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because Sarah Shriver is kind of, like you said, like she's kind of the more settled in new backstage woman, it seems like to me.
Yes. Yeah. On Raw, yes, she is. She's the lead on Raw, yeah.
And yeah, Mackenzie Mitchell's done enough now that I actually remember her name. So, you know, she must have at least been around for this 2.0 era, I think before that too. I mean, I
Oh,
guess
and
I
there's also,
liked.
oh, there's also Samantha Irvin,
Oh.
who yeah, she just started doing ring announcing on SmackDown, I believe, from NXT. So I
Okay.
guess Quinn McKay is going to be kind of taking her role, maybe.
I mean, I did like Quinn a lot on the ROH broadcasts. It'll be interesting to see how she's produced in the WWE to see what changes. I'm going to guess that her style is going to be a little bit tweaked moving forward here. Not that
So,
I, and not that I
I
have a particular critique to lay down, honestly, myself, but it's the WWE, you know. I just expect change to happen.
what we're trying to say with this exercise is, Brandy's old job has been more than filled.
If that's a real condition for Cody, for her to be in a wrestling position, I really don't see the WWE thing happening. I guess that's why I went to the his own promotion kind of a thing. Like, because of the booking stuff, his booking, because I think that you're right. Like, they have. I guess I said this when AEW started. Like, sometimes even the creative people have bad ideas. And man, he has been a fountain of bad. They have been fountains of bad ideas.
Yes, they have, and because it's so distant from the rest of the show, removed from the rest of the show, I have to imagine Tony Khan is letting Cody and to a certain extent Brandy get their own ideas out there and letting them sink or swim. Which even after he took control of the reins, he's still letting these segments, the infamous Be Bad weigh-in segment with between Cody and Anthony Ogogo after the jingoistic promo.
Oh,
So
jeez,
much, so
yeah.
much, so much. Yeah, there's just so much bad. And as far as another promotion, well, Cody's not going to spend his money. Part of Cody's story is that once WCW ended, his dad did try to start a promotion that had, Southern wrestling values and run some of those old towns. And that's when Dusty lost all his money and ended up having to go back to work for Vince. So I don't think
Oh.
Cody's going to spend his own money. Now, there's been stuff in the wind about, a new promotion. On the Conrad Thompson podcast, you got Jeff Jarrett and Eric Bischoff wink winking, nudge nudging on a weekly basis about something. But they've also appeared on WWE TV recently, both of them. there's games afoot there. Are they really serious? Once again, no one's going to spend their own money. Hell, Jeff Jarrett learned his lesson too with spending his own money in the beginning stages of TNA at the very least. And Bischoff has never spent his own money.
It's
Now,
always fun playing with someone else's money.
is there another rich dude who can, is Amazon interested in getting wrestling and having wrestling? And if they can't get the WWE contract, they'll start their own. It's going to take something at that level to make anything work. Because
Oh.
we've seen wrestling companies at the ROH, MLW, NWA level, too big to be small, too small to be big, that does not work for to have a third or more promotion.
If you want to be even close to competing with the WWE, like, if their owners are happy with where they're at, well, and I guess I think they are, considering that they're still around, good for them. There's a ceiling, though, to where they're gonna go.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's definitely a ceiling. Being on some digital cable channel that 50% of the market doesn't have, or anyone could put up could put up anything on YouTube. So it's like, if you have a YouTube show, there's no prestige to having your show on YouTube, even if it's free and, you know, technically everyone in the world can watch it. You need to be on a major network or a major streaming service, and preferably they should be paying you for that time.
Yes, that is the ideal outcome. And yeah, I guess that would be interesting if Cody Rhodes went in with a bunch of people, with you know, another new investor to start another company.
I'm not seeing that one at this point. I do think he's going to end up back with. Well, the only other option he has is his good buddy Stephen Amell has his show, his wrestling TV show Heels. That's going to be his second season. So if Cody could, I guess that would be an option for him, because Cody's done everything else, and you know there's no going back to New Japan for him. Other than one show in WrestleMania weekend, we don't know what Ring of Honor is going to be going forward. It's pretty much WWE or out of the business, I think, unless a third promotion can rise up. But also, WWE is going to, you know, with that Spectre, if they're doing a Spectre of a third promotion, well, you know, you give Cody whatever. Put Jeff Jarrett and Eric Bischoff on some kind of retainer without even having to give them any actual responsibilities, and you've nipped that in the bud, at least as far as having people with any experience running a wrestling company involved in it.
That is true. I guess the interesting thing for me is that if Tony Khan and Cody are butting heads about creativity decisions, what's Cody gonna do? Like, how's Cody gonna negotiate that contract in the WWE to not become, was it Starkiller?
Stardust
again.
I imagine they will have value for Cody Rhodes as Cody Rhodes on this run. I don't think Cody's going to have any creative power unless in the ultimate fuck you to Triple H, they decide to put him in charge of NXT.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening, but that's a hilarious thought.
Yeah, I guess it's always possible, but I think at this point, Cody was probably already faced with the reality that his dream of being a creative force in wrestling have already been taken from him for the most part, so he might as well make the most money he can as a performer.
Oh. Yeah, and I would imagine that would still be the WWE at this point.
Yeah.
As much as AEW is enjoyable, and it seems like with most metrics on the at least slow upswing here, the WWE is still the biggest game in town.
Yes.
So, it's going to be interesting, especially since, you know, we got WrestleMania coming up. I guess that's kind of the interesting thing is that, you know, you kind of threw out one kind of match to possibly have it's such an event. You know, he really is kind of limited to that specialty match at this point. Like, he's not challenging anyone, I wouldn't think, for a championship.
No. Well, we do have to see what comes of the Elimination Chamber on Saturday. I'm, at this point, definitely leaning strong towards Brock winning the title back and then doing title for title. But, you know, it's... You know, Lashley retaining or Seth winning wouldn't surprise me. Anyone else in the match winning would surprise me.
Oh, Yeah, I'm with you. Those are the most likely. Austin Theory isn't winning.
No, Austin Theory's not winning. AJ's not winning. Riddle's not winning. Because Riddle and Orton are still feuding with
Alpha American Academy.
Alpha Academy, so they're maybe Alpha. But Alpha Academy, and I imagine they might that tag team title feud might make it all the way to WrestleMania itself. So, it's a three horse race with I would say definitely Brock in the lead. But if Lashley or Seth win, and they needed a fresh opponent for WrestleMania, who knows?
Yeah, that's a possibility. It would be kind of interesting to see Cody Rhodes in the main event on WWE TV. I guess maybe that's the other reason why I think that there's some, to me, some hesitation. Like, I guess you could tell that Cody Rhodes was bigger than expected when he went to the Indies, because he dwarfed his fair share of people in that arena of wrestling. But he still hasn't really gotten any bigger.
No.
So that, I guess that's kind of the interesting thing to me too. Like, the WWE will really have to do some work, at least on their end, to make him a main eventer, ? I mean, do they have any work to really do, or does he just slot in there and everyone's cool with it because of what's happened in AEW?
I think that, especially on the SmackDown side of things, they do need somebody.
Yes.
And they need a heel. They need a heel between Roman Reigns and Happy Corbin. At the very least.
Yes.
They at least need one, so Corbin can be the number three. Well, I guess maybe at this point, Sami Zayn might be the the number two heel on SmackDown, I guess you would say. It's closer than it should be for Corbin to be number two.
Yeah, I would say as far as what matches they put someone in, I think Happy Corbin edges out Sami Zayn. But enjoyability-wise, right. Sami Zayn is definitely number two.
But Sami Zayn is getting a celebrity match at WrestleMania, it would appear.
Oh, yes. Good for him.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny Knoxville. So, and probably like all the Jackass guys, because why not?
Yeah. I guess we can move on from Cody.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any other angle to take with these two, or with this whole situation?
No, I don't think so. I think we did a pretty good job with it. we should give ourselves a hand.
So, okay, I'll Barry Horowitz myself.
Now, I guess the other news, and we kind of already transitioned to placement at WrestleMania. Last week, we were wildly entertained by the antics of one Kevin Owens and his statement of love for the state of Texas. But after this week, he did an about-face after it turned out the people of Texas do not believe him, and he cut a scathing promo on Texas. Now, where is this all going? Well, we found out there is a very possible reason for all of this. Kevin Owens versus Stone Cold Steve Austin has been heavily discussed as a WrestleMania match. Not just a segment, a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, because I do believe I saw the whole Stone Cold built a ring, has been wrestling in it for the last year or some shenanigans on his ranch.
That is interesting. That's been there. That's been apparently it went up in August. He's I don't know if he's ever actually had a ring at his property. I know. I mean, he's been in good shape. He's done some stuff. He's done some physicality over the years. And, obviously he did the season of Tough Enough, but that was a WWE ring. He did some, workout type stuff during his Straight Up Steve Austin talk show, but I think that was an independent ring or a wrestling school ring somewhere in the Los Angeles area.
Oh.
But for him to actually have a ring built at his house seemingly for no reason, back in August, it seems that maybe he was thinking about this well before. Now, granted, some reports have them not approaching him until about December, January. I'm not sure of that, especially with news of the ring going up in his barn. But no, that is a very, very, very interesting possibility for WrestleMania, and one I guess we certainly did not see coming. Now, I figured Stone Cold was going to be involved.
Oh,
In the show being in Dallas and doing that first commercial for it.
Right,
and I'm sure he's going to at least hit someone with a stunner, but a match—that's a new development, and it does make sense with what they're doing with Kevin Owens. Now, of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin, one of the biggest stars of all time, you could make the argument that Kevin Owens isn't a big enough name for him to return to face, but from every other perspective, he's probably the perfect opponent for Austin to face.
I'm just sitting here going, if they said, hey, Kevin, do you want to resign? We're debating giving you a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. I'd be like, yeah, be right there.
Yeah, the thoughts for longer than we thought, then yes.
This
is all happening. I mean, once again, and for Austin to come back for a guy like Kevin Owens, who's gonna be a pinball around for him, as opposed to if they wanted to do the quote unquote biggest match possible and have him run into the brick wall known as Brock Lesnar, the Kevin Owens option is. This probably might be more appealing to Steve.
We've kind of talked about it. They have continued to find ways to use Kevin Owens.
Oh, they have. He has always stayed in the thick of things.
He's one of the few guys that has had legit, memorable feuds and angles without having the championship recently. I don't know if I could think of anyone else that's especially been at the level that he's, he's interacting with the people that aren't in the championship hunt usually.
Yeah.
But they could be. And the guy's had a who's who's list. And the fact that, like you said, it's kind of strange to have him start doing this whole anti-Texas thing. Because there's, you got Stone Cold and Undertaker are both Texas guys. Not that I think that Undertaker would come back. The promos with him and Stone Cold would probably just be more than outstanding, honestly. Fact that Kevin Owens is using the stunner and has used the stunner for at least the pandemic period, I want to say.
Yeah. It started before that.
Yeah.
Because I remember him hitting it on Shane.
So he's been using it for at least a couple of years. There's a lot of reason. And like you said, I I'm with you too, Kevin Owens can just bump for him. He doesn't really, and they can have a good brawl.
They can have a good brawl. They can do the whole, the match is not sanctioned because Austin can't get medically cleared, so they can walk one around the building and throw things at each other and use chairs and whatnot. Austin doesn't have, Austin's not taking the powerbomb on the apron, I don't think. But you know, if Owens hits him with his version of the stunner, I think Owens has got a good like super kick, a clothesline. You know, these are things that Austin could do.
Yes. Yeah, Kevin Owens does not have too much crazy offense to have Stone Cold on the concern about. Brock Lesnar, on the other hand, you've got to take a German suplex, and I'm not sure that Steve Austin really wants to do that.
Very, very likely not. And Brock Lesnar already has his WrestleMania match official.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting, like you said, this is another one, though, that, yeah, you don't have Kevin Owens cut these two promos without having some idea in mind. And, obviously, it's gonna involve a Texan, since they've both been pro-Texas and anti-Texas. And it would seem to be that he's gonna stay on the anti-Texas screed, since he does not have a match at WrestleMania currently. So, yeah, you expect a pro-Texas person to be that. And I don't know, I mean, does anyone really fit that bill within the WWE currently to speculate about?
No, there really isn't. I'm trying to think if there's anyone who's that Texas.
Nope. Yeah, like, I can't think of anyone. It's kind of weird. Like, I felt like they had so many people that were from Texas at a time.
Yeah.
That it seems odd that no one is from Texas on the roster, really. And there might be someone, but there's no one big enough to saddle up next to Kevin Owens, even for a WrestleMania match currently.
Correct, yeah.
Like, that's kind of wild. So, yeah, that's... It should be interesting to see where that whole Kevin Owens feud goes. But those two stories do seem to go hand in hand with each other.
Definitely. Yes, they do.
And I guess this is kind of easy speculation instead of doing just a straight-up Raw / SmackDown report. We got, what, Elimination Chamber is Saturday in Saudi Arabia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
so,
yes, at noon Eastern time start, yes.
I'm not sure that makes it any more palatable for me. I'm sure that I will probably be watching something else at noon on Saturday. There's not any football anymore, so there's not that excuse. But I'm not sure if I necessarily want to watch 4 hours of wrestling on a Saturday afternoon, per se. Are you going to probably watch it on time?
I imagine I am. I do have plans later in the day, but I think the show will be done by that point. So I will, yeah, I might as well watch this one live.
Fair enough. So we already talked about the elimination, at least the Raw Elimination Chamber match a little bit. I suppose I'm trying to think of the other chamber matches.
Well, it's also Raw, but it's the Raw Women's Elimination Chamber for the number one contendership.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, because my mind was wandering towards one Alexa Bliss, who has now been deemed an entrant. Into the women's,
her inclusion of this makes it more interesting, because I don't think anyone besides Bianca Belair really was a favorite before. So Alexa Bliss makes it a little more interesting. Bianca also getting that number six spot is also, I guess, kind of interesting, because she's already in many people's eyes the favorite to win the match. So then you essentially give her the easy spot to come in and win the whole thing. Almost gives you doubt that she's actually is going to win the whole thing. I still think she will, because there's still hijinks you can do with Alexa Bliss. And now, where did this psychiatrist get his degree? Why would he give her back that doll? What kind of a psychiatrist would do that?
I guess it's some type of rub your nose in it therapy, I suppose.
No, it seems like it's using it to comfort her, but it's not a comfort.
I still don't know what to think. I feel like they've progressed that story the last couple of weeks, and I did really notice what you were talking about last week with her changing her clothing and her look along the way. But to me, I guess it still leaves the, is this going to be a Jekyll and Hyde type of situation, or, you know, continue to be a Bray Wyatt situation, but she turns it on and off, where he was Bray and then he was the Fiend? Yeah, there's a lot out there, I guess. And there's a lot of people that I suppose could want a vendetta on Alexa Bliss that could cause her to lose the match. That, you know, cages are always meant to keep people out, but when there's a real purpose, someone finds their way inside of a cage. Yeah. Although, has anyone made it into an elimination chamber, though?
I think there's been some trapdoor shenanigans, yes.
Yeah, okay. I was leaning towards yes, but I can't really pull anything straight out of my memory. So yeah, I'm with you. There are ways to have Alexa Bliss. I'm with you too, I guess, that she's probably a number two for who ends up winning this thing. But I would lean towards Bianca. She got the nod on Raw, and like you said, she gets the number six slot. It seems pretty, and she has the storyline with the champion who still has her championship.
Yeah.
Like, it lines up a little too good for it not to still be Bianca Belair.
Right, I agree. I really hope they don't screw her over at the finish with this. She really needs that win back.
And I guess that does kind of lead us at, not that it probably really needs to be a long talk anyway, Becky Lynch versus Lita, will kind of go hand in hand with that Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah, well, interesting, I don't know what to say, what to say interesting, a weird segment on Monday that just didn't feel earned to me. It didn't feel like what's been going on between Becky and Lita would lead Becky to have a mental breakdown. It was strangely done. You know, waiting for it to reveal that, you know, there was all a plan all along from Becky, but then it wasn't, and there was no, you know, there was no physicality. Yeah, just a weird segment to send this match home. I mean, once again, this match should be fine. I don't. Lita looks in really good shape. Becky's at arguably the best she's ever been. So I don't really have any concerns that this match is going to stink at the joint up or anything. But Becky's winning.
Yeah, that would be the shock of all shocks if Lita came away with the championship. So I guess to really just put a bow tie on the ladies here, I suppose, Ronda Rousey and Naomi taking on Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville.
Well, you want a match to get, you know, Ronda on the show, not make her have to do a singles match just yet. It intertwines the Sonya Deville-Naomi storyline. I see no reason why the babyface team won't win handily, with I'm sure Deville taking the fall.
Sonya is definitely taking the L on this one. Whether it's to Naomi or to Ronda, it's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, there isn't a whole lot to say about that match. So, I guess I'll start at the bottom of Wiki here. Rey Mysterio versus The Miz.
I mean, they've had a fine underneath feud here.
Yeah.
You know, this, you know, nothing, I'm sure nothing too crazy. It will continue the storyline with Rey and Dominic that has been seemingly going on for ever with, are they going to break up or not? I don't really necessarily have a prediction for this one either.
Yeah, it's just it's so weird that I don't know what to say about it, honestly. Like you said, they've definitely pushed this as a story, but there are ways to push it until WrestleMania if you want to do that. I don't know if I care for that to happen necessarily, right. But it could be.
I don't think this one's making it to WrestleMania. You know, I think these two and three, if you count Dominic, might be readying themselves for some battle royal action.
that is a good possibility. I do believe that Madcap Moss will definitely be in for battle royal duties at WrestleMania, but at Elimination Chamber, he will be taking on Drew McIntyre with Happy Corbin.
And Falls Count Anywhere.
Yep.
So that at least gives as a different dimension than the match these two have already had. We don't really have to talk much about it. You know, Drew's going to win this match. And unfortunately, spend another 6 weeks feuding with these two, leading to a match with Corbin at WrestleMania.
Whew, yeah. Drew is definitely taking one on the chin. Tag team matchup. The Usos versus the Viking Raiders for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
This should be a technically should be a good match. Viking Raiders haven't gotten much over on the Usos at all. They're not getting the titles either, so let's be a fine match to fill some time.
There is just not a whole lot going on with that one. You know, I like both teams. The Viking Raiders, though, have not really had a lot of quality momentum since coming. Was one of them injured?
Yeah, I think so.
Ivar. Oh, that's right. Ivar fucked up his neck, I think. So I don't see any reason for the Usos to drop the tag team championships there. Not much to say about the match in general. That leaves us with Roman Reigns defending his championship against Goldberg. Match 2 years in the making, and it's just another Roman Reigns win, right? Like,
there's no way that they're changing this title here. No. Goldberg doesn't have that kind of momentum going for them in this match. It just doesn't feel right. The match will probably be something of a fun spectacle to see, but other than that, you know, generations colliding, spear versus spear, but Roman Reigns puts Goldberg down. We'll see if we ever see Goldberg again, because this is the end of his contract.
Yeah, I'm voting for no, but I also get zero say in this. So we'll see what ends up happening in that department. Anything else to talk about before hitting the old dusty trail here?
No. Let's hit the trail.
Bell Time Beer of this show. This past weekend, I have enjoy Sideswipe Brewing's beers quite a bit. The fact that the Saturday before Valentine's Day, they keep on calling Side Piece Saturday, cracks me up. And they've been releasing this beer, Batshit Hazy, on Side Piece Saturday the last couple of years. I made sure to go down there to get this beer and a six-pack of their mole-inspired El Ocho 8th anniversary beer. And the Batshit Hazy was what I was drinking tonight, and it is a beautiful blend of tropical hoppy goodness. And yeah, there aren't many places that make hazy IPAs as well as Sideswipe, in my opinion. Just pretty much anyone that I've tried anywhere, Sideswipe does it as good as anyone. I believe they're available in Ohio only, so come here, people. That's what I'm saying. Or if you're from here, go to Sideswipe. It is extremely tasty. That is the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show. I'm at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of places, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.